Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. Here are your hosts, Bill Kennard and Tom Grandy.
Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. I'm Bill Kennard, along with our company's founder, Tom Grandy. This month's program is titled Surviving and Thriving in a Constantly Changing Social Media World. It's a real treat having Jay Owen as our speaker, as he's not only a personal friend, but his company, Design Extensions, has just completed a complete redesign of the Grandy website. Jay has a unique understanding of the world of social media, and he provides some really practical suggestions on how to survive and thrive in the changing social media world.
He sure does, Bill. He caught my attention with just a couple amazing statistics. He mentioned that only 4% of companies exist past the 10-year mark, and that technology transformation is the reason many long-standing national organizations no longer exist. Jay also mentioned that it takes 2 seconds, that is, if it takes more than just 2 seconds for your website to open, it results in a 50% bounce rate. Wow. This presentation is full of lots of practical ideas concerning the ever-changing world of social media.
Well, thanks, Tom. You know, this month's presenter is Jay Owen. Marketing can be confusing and expensive. Jay has spent his entire career helping others make it clear and effective. Since 1999, he's successfully grown Design Extensions, a digital agency that helps others grow their businesses. He is the author of Building a Business That Lasts Without Sacrificing Family, and is the host of a podcast by the same name, where he features business owners with a track record of long-term success. When he's not busy growing businesses, he's usually with his wife of 16 years and their 5 children. And now, with surviving and thriving in a constantly changing social media world, here's Jay Owen with this month's Prophet University audio series presentation.
All right, I'm really excited to bring the content that I have today for you because it's one of those things that is so hard in business, and that is that marketing is confusing and expensive, and trying to survive and ultimately thrive in a constantly changing social media world is starting to feel almost impossible as a business owner. It can seem like it should be easier than ever to get in front of the right people, but in fact, it's more overwhelming than ever. But how do we deal with these constant changing technology elements and constantly changing business practices and still grow over time? That's what we're going to talk about today. And I've got kind of a culmination of ideas that I'm going to share with you that are really a combination of 2 different talks that I've given in the past. One is on future-proofing your marketing, and the other one is on surviving and thriving in a constantly changing social media world. So both of those things fit together really nicely as far as I'm concerned, because they all relate. It's this idea of how do we deal with this constant change and what are we going to do about it? So what I'd love to do here at the start is just kind of talk through where we've come from and where we're going, and then ultimately what we're going to do about it. You know, when we think about technology as a whole, it wasn't that long ago, well, it doesn't feel like it was that long ago, that just having a website was enough from a technology perspective. I mean, when I started my digital agency in 1999, just having a website was enough. Matter of fact, many businesses didn't even have websites at this point. So when you started out with a website, it seemed like you were a little bit ahead of the curve. And then technology started to rapidly change. You know, the iPod was released in 2001, not the iPad, the iPod, just the simple music device. And that doesn't seem that important as it relates to your business, but it was the foundational elements upon which the iPhone and eventually the iPad were created, which certainly have totally revolutionized, for better or worse, how we run our businesses. And in 2004, a few years later, you know, everyone needed a website, and Facebook was just getting off the ground. It's hard to believe now how prolific they are in society with regards to usage. I mean, literally 30% of the world is using Facebook right now, which is crazy because the rest of the world probably doesn't have access to the internet to do it. Most people that have access to the internet are either on Facebook or heavily aware of it. And it's amazing how much that has changed things, and we got to think about how we're going to deal with that. You know, the iPhone was released in 2007. Mobile websites, mobile access started becoming a lot more important, and responsive design, it started in 2009. What that means is when you see a website that kind of scales down to a small size and then scales up, we had to kind of accommodate for all these different devices. And the iPad was released in 2010. Mobile users passed desktop users in 2014. And here we are now with all this technology that's happened. The tools, techniques, and tactics have changed significantly throughout time as well. And when you think about some companies that used to exist, and some of them actually still do exist, just not in the same manner that they used to, and how they have been surpassed by technology, it's a warning shot for all of us that own businesses, even those of us that have been around for a long time. Look, I've built a digital agency for the past 20 years. We've grown every single year for 20 years in a row. But I am not foolish enough to believe that that doesn't mean that we could disappear in the next couple of years. And technology transformation is one of the biggest reasons that long-standing companies are crushed. Think about companies like Yahoo, Blockbuster, American Online, and MySpace. All of these companies were dominant players, the dominant player, not even like top 10. Like, they were the number one player in their industries at some point. I mean, I remember when I started my agency, Yahoo was the king of the internet. And it seemed impossible that anybody could supplant Yahoo from a search perspective, and yet they did. Blockbuster was the king of rental movies. I mean, how many of us, at least if you're over, 30 years old, spent Friday nights walking around Blockbuster trying to find the movie that we wanted to rent for that night? How much has that changed? Think about America Online. How many of us got those discs in the mail or in a magazine or something else that they kind of said, hey, here's 500 free minutes or hours or whatever it was that you could access America Online? And MySpace was the first, not necessarily the first social media site, but it was the first popular one that grew and grew and grew. And yet all four of these brands that we're talking about now have been significantly replaced by others. Google has supplanted Yahoo. Netflix has supplanted Blockbuster. Just cable internet in general, cable high-speed internet in general has overcome America Online. They did not transition to that level of broadband and high-speed internet that has been brought by so many companies now. And Facebook certainly has supplanted MySpace. So what happened to these companies, and why were they not able to survive over time? And I think a lot of it is not understanding how to transform with technology and not being willing to change fast enough. I mean, think about Blockbuster. They were perfectly positioned to do everything that Netflix did, and yet they were too stubborn and too stuck in their ways to actually make those changes. That's a big deal. You know, when you think about businesses that last a long time, 96% of businesses don't make it. They don't make it past 10 years. They don't make it to 10 years even. 4 out of 100 businesses last past 10 years. 4 out of 100. That's not very many. So if you're one of those businesses that has lasted longer than 10 years, congratulations. You're in the top 4%. And if you're one of those businesses who's not quite there yet, and you're trying to figure out how do I get to that point where I can have this long-term stability, stay tuned. These are the things that we're going to talk about today. But for those of you that have been around for a long time, I want to give you that warning of thinking about those big brands that have disappeared, or at least become almost irrelevant culturally and even economically. I think quite a few or all of those companies have gone through bankruptcy at some point or are in the midst of it now. Another great one to talk about would be Kodak. I mean, they literally invented digital photography, and yet they suppressed the idea because they were worried it was going to overtake their print business or their regular film business. Well, guess what it did? It's just that somebody else did it for them. So they would have been much better replacing their own technology. This is something that Apple does a great job with, is Apple has no fear of killing one of their own products in order to replace it. When they released the iPhone, they, in essence, killed the iPod. It still exists in some form, but certainly not to the level that it used to. One idea that I think is really important in business that is so easy to overlook is that it's okay to grow slow. Test quickly, but be patient. We live in a society of everybody wants to get rich quick, Everybody wants to lose weight quick. We all want the shortcut. And in business, slow patience over time wins the race. Look, we all heard the story of the tortoise and the hare when we were younger, and we all know the outcome of that story. The hare gets worn out, and he can't finish the race, and the tortoise is consistent over time. One of my favorite analogies is one that John Maxwell gives, and he tells this story. He says, look, I want you to think about this giant tree in your backyard, and you've got to cut this tree down. But all you've got is an axe and something to sharpen it with. Now, if you go out there today and you try and cut that tree down, you won't be able to do it. You don't have enough daylight to get it done. You don't have enough strength to cut that tree down in one day. But if every day you sharpen that axe and you go out there and you take 5 swings at that tree, eventually the tree will fall. Now, it may take 5 weeks or 5 months or 5 years, but eventually the tree will fall. That consistency over time is one of the great keys to success in growing a long-term business. A lot of people have a problem with the idea of selling. Many business owners get into business because they were good at a particular thing. Maybe they were accomplished in a particular trade of electrical or plumbing or HVAC or some kind of engineering work. Or like me, you know, I was in the digital trades, so I was good at building websites and using Photoshop and all these kinds of things. And so then what happens is a lot of times, because you were good at those trades, you think you can start a business. And so you do. But along the way, you realize you got to sell in order to do work. And selling has this negative connotation. I had a member of my team who's still with me. He's been with me for a little over 8 years. And the idea of being a salesman was so offensive to him because I didn't want to take on that persona. But that's because when we hear that, we think of this like used car salesman. And it doesn't have to be like that. A good salesperson is just helping the other person. So stop selling and start helping people figure out what they need to do in order to accomplish their goals. Help them understand what the problem is, that you understand their problem, I should say, that you have empathy for their problem, that you have authority to solve it, and that you have a simple process for them to get started. Stop selling and start helping. If you think about helping the end consumer, you won't end up in the same situation that Blockbuster did. Automate and document. This has been a big thing for me in our growth of business because I have had a hard time with documentation specifically. I'm not a detailed oriented person. And as a result of that, I have a hard time putting things down on paper and putting together a plan. So this 4-step process has been really helpful for me in understanding how to get out of the whirlwind of business. Because especially if you're a small business, even if you're a big business and you're running it, it can feel completely overwhelming at times. And you feel like you're in this constant whirlwind. It can feel like you're stuck in a dry cleaner or something, rolling round and around in that thing every single day. But it doesn't have to feel like that. You see, if you think about these 4 steps, it can be really, really helpful. Here's those 4 steps. Number one, do you have to do it? Does it have to be done, really, is the question. Does it have to be done, yes or no? If no, it needs to be deleted and just gotten rid of. Number two, can I automate it? So let me start over. Number one is, does it have to be done? Number two is, can it be automated? In other words, is there a tool or a software or a system that I can use that will allow me to automate this process so that somebody's not having to do it on a regular basis? Number three is, can I delegate it? Is there somebody else that I can delegate the outcome of this task to? And number four is, does it have to be done now? So automate your processes whenever possible, and when not possible, find ways to document them. One really great tool, especially if you do a lot of computer work, is to use a product like Loom.com. It's useloom.com. It'll let you take a video very easily of your screen, and you can walk through how you do something so that you can then hand that off to somebody else. a lot of times documenting, we feel like we've got to put down steps on a piece of paper, and that can be helpful too, but we also can just pull our phones out and video a process of how things are done, and that can be really helpful to hand that off to somebody else. And then what I always say too, when you're documenting and you're handing off from a delegation standpoint, is delegate the change in that process to that person too. So if how you do that in the future changes, they need to make the new video, they need to make the new documentation, and that can be a huge help. The next thing, when we talk about social media specifically, because I want to hit on that, we kind of hit on the idea of social media, we've kind of been dealing with bigger, broader business concepts, but this idea specifically can revolutionize how you create content for your business. Ultimately, when you're looking at information online and you're trying to get information out to people, the most powerful thing that you can do in that process is get good content out to people. And so one of the ways to do that is through what we call content multiplication. And here's what content multiplication looks like. Let's say that I am creating an audio program or a video program like what you're listening to or watching right now. Now, this can be a singular audio program that could be sent out to one program. It could be a video that gets posted on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter or something else. It could be then transcribed and turned into a blog post. So if you want an easy way to transcribe audio, let's say you don't feel like you're a good writer, but you're good at talking about things, you can talk about it, hit voice record on your phone, record a memo of you talking about an idea and how to do something or what you believe in or how to improve something. And then you can go to rev.com and you can have that audio transcribed into written text. It only costs like $1 a minute, super cheap. And then you have a full written transcript of what you just said. You can have somebody else then go back through and edit it, or you can edit it yourself. And now you've multiplied that content. So what might have just been one little audio program or one little video can be turned into audio, video, a written blog post, and then that written blog post, if you really wanted to, you could have somebody go through that and pull snippets out and make those little social posts that might go on your Facebook page or your Twitter account or your LinkedIn account, depending on the markets that you're trying to go after. The beauty of this idea of content multiplication is that you are able to take time and multiply it. Because the most valuable commodity that any of us have is time. And we can't get it back once we use it. And coming up with content can feel completely overwhelming for a lot of people, but it doesn't have to be that hard. Create one piece of content and it can be turned into 5, 10, 15, 20 different pieces of content very easily, at least a lot more easily than trying to create 5, 10, or 20 unique pieces of content. So content multiplication can be a huge way to thrive in the current social media environment of trying to get good information out to people so that they see you as a subject matter expert, so that they're going to come to you whenever they need your product or service. You know, another big thing in business in order to survive through these environments is understanding that it's okay to say no. You've got to find space within your business to say, hey, that's not going to work for us. That's not who we are. We had a client proposal that, or RFP that came in a couple of days ago, and it just was not a good fit for us. It was a good amount of money, and so it was easy for us to kind of go, oh, well, gosh, we should probably go ahead and bid on that. And then once we went through it and kind of got into it, I said to the leadership team, you know what? This is just not a good fit for us. It's going to end up bad. We need to say no to this. And one thing that somebody told me one time that has so much power is they said, for those of you who have a hard time saying no, whether it's to a team member or a friend or a client, when you say yes to one thing, you're saying no to 1,000 others. Again, going back, we only have so much time in the day and we have to choose our yeses very carefully. You know, in business, if you're going to survive on social media and you're going to thrive, you have to know your why. Why do you do what you do? That is what needs to be communicated so that clients can see that and help differentiate you from other people. It's not just about the product or service. It's that heart behind it. There's a great analogy that Simon Sinek gives. If you've not listened to him before, he actually has a book on this very topic called Start With Why. It's very popular. Or if you're not a book reader and you want to watch the video, go Google Start With Why, Simon Sinek, TED Talk, and you'll see an awesome YouTube video on that topic. And what he says about business is that it's easy to feel like business is all about the money. And it is about money because we got to have money to keep the thing going. But here's the analogy that he uses. He says, cars have a purpose. Their purpose is to get us to a particular place when we need to get there. The problem is they need gas. Gas is like money in the business. That fuel that you put in the car does not give the car purpose, but it allows it to move forward. It allows it to achieve its purpose. So we have to know what our purpose is, and then we still need the fuel, which is money, to keep the engine rolling. But knowing that why will affect your messaging, which will affect your social media output. And one of the biggest things that we could talk about with regards to social media as a whole is being willing to change. You know, when you think about those companies that we talked about at the beginning, Blockbuster, AOL, Yahoo, MySpace, they were not willing to change and adapt, at least not quickly enough, in order to deal with the competition that was incoming. Over time, you have to find ways to multiply yourself and your content and get attention in ways that maybe you didn't before. You know, when I started this digital agency way back in the day, I just did basic websites. That was it. If I still today just did basic websites, I'd probably be out of business because you can go to Squarespace or Wix or Weebly or GoDaddy or any of these other platforms and put together a basic website for basically no money and not that much time. Now, it might not be great and it might not have the content that you need and it might not achieve the purpose that you want. That's why we build high-end websites and high-end products to help people actually achieve their goals versus just having something online. But you got to be able to change and adjust. So finding ways to promote yourself that's outside of your typical vehicle can help you thrive. One of the things that I've done recently is I started a podcast called Building a Business That Lasts. And it's on this topic of growing a business over time. So on the podcast, I have business owners who have been in business for 10 years or more. So if that's you and you want to be on the show, I'd love to have you. I'd love to talk to other people who have been in business for a long time and let them share their ideas. But the beauty of this podcast is I get to hear from other business owners and they share their ideas to others. But here's what happens from a promotion standpoint for me is that I get to put my face next to that other business owner. And then over and over and over again, we've got like 50 or 60 episodes that have been released now. All of these business owners are seen next to me. That creates perceived authority for me because they're going to share that podcast that they were on in all of their circles. And when they do that, all of their circles are going to get to know me a little bit more. Now, the podcast is not about me. I don't tell my story. I don't walk through what we do. I just ask questions of the other person. But that connection, that proximity to other people makes a big difference. You know, one of the big mistakes that we make in social media is trying to make it all about sales. And social media is not about sales, it's about relationships. If I were to show up at a networking event and say, hey, take my card, take my card, take my card, take my card, you wouldn't like me very much. It wouldn't work. I wouldn't sell anything. In fact, if I'm at a networking event in person, I would rather you give me your card because then I have a way to follow up with you. Me giving you my card doesn't help me at all. I can't follow up with you. I need you to give me your card. So I would much rather give valuable information that you go, hey, will you give me a call sometime? Hey, will you shoot me an email when you get back to the office? Sure, I'd be happy to. So that's what creating good content online does. That's what building relationships in social media does. Your LinkedIn account is a huge opportunity if you're in a business-to-business space to build relationships and connect with people that you might not otherwise be able to. Twitter is the same thing. But here's what needs to happen. So many times we're so worried about creating our own content that we forget to engage with other people. The most valuable thing you can do on social media right now, in my opinion, has nothing to do with creating your own content. It has to do with engaging with others. Go on Twitter or LinkedIn and search for ideas and topics that relate to things that you're passionate about, that you love, and hopefully are related to your business and revenue stream. See what other people are posting. Go comment on it. Make the most relevant comment on that topic that's interesting and engaging, and you might be able to connect with some people. I have a couple of people coming up that are going to be on my podcast soon that are high-level CEOs that in a normal world back in the day, I would have never been able to get in front of. But now I am because I can go on LinkedIn and comment on a couple of posts and start to build engagement and relationship. And so when I say, hey, gosh, I'd love to have you share some of those ideas on my podcast, other business owners interested? And then they go, sure, why not? wow, now I have a connection that I didn't have before. Because social media is about building relationships and about building rapport. It's not just about selling. Now, there's plenty of revenue streams as far as creating ads on Facebook, specifically ads on Instagram, ads on Twitter, ads on LinkedIn, that are about selling and trying to get product or services in front of the right people. But traditional organic social media is all about relationships and nothing else. Along with the podcast, I then kind of multiplied that content and I created a book under the same title called Building a Business That Lasts. Well, what I've done by that is I have established more credibility for myself. That's why, that's one of the reasons that I'm talking to you today. I'm giving you insight and wisdom from 20 years of business growth, but the reason that I have the platform for that is because I started the podcast and because I wrote the book. It's not just because of my business. I have to create content that's valuable to other people and in most cases give it away. I mean, I give my book away. You can go get a free copy at getjaysbook.com. I give the book away. I give the podcast away. Neither one of those things are revenue producing. My social media posts and content don't produce revenue for me. There is not a direct ROI on those things, but it's hard to have a direct ROI on some relationships. It's long tail. It's me showing up at an event and talking on a particular subject, sometimes not even getting paid to do it. But we had a great client lead that came in yesterday from a talk that I did a year ago. So putting yourself in the place where you can build these relationships and create rapport can have a significant change. Let me give you a few stats that are really powerful, and I want you to kind of think about today as we kind of head towards the end here. The first is that better content can increase your traffic to your site by up to 2,000%. That's a big initiative for us here at Design Extensions right now, is building good content. And content's a long tail game. You're not going to post a blog post and get a ton of new business right away, but consistent activity over time will help you grow that significantly. Google makes up 96% of all smartphone search traffic. Here's why that matters. One of the most important things you can do, especially if you're a local business, if you don't take anything else away, write this down. Go to google.com/business, and you'll be able to create a Google My Business profile. That Google My Business profile is one of the number one things that shows up in a search results in certain areas. It affects your map listing. It affects the profile that shows up. It affects your reviews that show up. It affects what photos are attached to your business. You can go in and claim your business and update all of that information. That can have a drastic update over time on what you do. Any website that takes longer than 2 seconds to load will result in a 50% bounce rate or higher. A higher than 50% bounce rate. You want your website to load as quickly as possible. So if your site takes longer than that to load, get with a website professional and have them help make that load faster. If you don't have somebody, go to designextensions.com and our team will be more than happy to help you get a faster loading website so that you can get more attention. Another big thing is having content on YouTube. When you get content posted up on YouTube, a video of some sort, and put a description with it, that content can help drive traffic back to your website. So link that video back to your website, and people will have more likelihood of connecting with you. So what are we going to do about it? After we know all these things, we're thinking about business and change. Create clarity in your messaging. That's one of the big things that I teach on, is creating clarity in your marketing messaging. Matter of fact, we may do that as a future talk. I can walk through a 7-step framework. A great book on that is Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller. And I walk through that 7-step marketing framework to help clarify your message. It is a hugely powerful idea. And it would take a whole talk for us to walk through that, but it may be worth doing it in the future. Creating clarity in your marketing messaging, removing confusion is so powerful. Building content around your business, whether it's video or written text or audio like the podcast that I do, building that content establishes you as a subject matter expert. I don't care if you're in the plumbing business, if you're in the HVAC business, if you're a lawyer, if you're a doctor. Building good content creates credibility and gives you opportunities in the future. And the last one is context, understanding where you're posting that information. So for example, when you upload a video to YouTube, don't just share that YouTube video on Facebook, upload that video directly to Facebook as well. All of those platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, any of the social media platforms, have one primary purpose, and that is to keep you on the platform. So upload your content into that platform directly, and it will have a big effect on your actual marketing. If you're not doing video right now when it comes to content, I would really encourage you to work on that. The average user spends about 88% more time on a website with video. 45% of people now watch over an hour of Facebook or YouTube videos a week. Facebook and YouTube videos are replacing TV of old. That is a big shift that's coming, and something even Netflix is dealing with is how much time people are spending on those platforms and how they can get them back on theirs. Social video generates 1,200% more shares than just plain text. And video on a landing page can increase your conversions by up to 80%. So it can have a huge impact on how your business grows over time. The last thing that I want to cover here as we wrap up is the idea of search versus social. One of the big questions that I ask people a lot is, what does Google know versus what does Facebook know? And here's something that's really important to know. Google knows what people are looking for, and Facebook knows who people are. Now, they're both very powerful, and from an ad perspective, if you're going to run ads online, I want you to think about this. If you want to find people who are looking for a particular thing at that moment, Google ads are often the best way to do that. That's why they're worth so much money, because somebody's typing in, my air conditioning is broken, or HVAC, you know, repair emergency tonight. Matter of fact, last night our air went out, I had to have somebody come out and fix it. And thankfully I knew somebody, but the idea of searching for something relevant right now, that's where Google ads play. If you are promoting something that maybe people aren't actively looking for, they don't know that they want it yet, but you want to target a particular demographic, Facebook and Instagram can be amazing for that, because you can create an ad that says, only show this to women between the ages of 35 and 45 who have more than two children, who are over the age of 7, and have a particular income range and live within X number of miles of this zip code. You can be that precise with your searching, with your demographics, that is, for ad placement, and it can be very effective. A lot of people right now are saying that Facebook has gotten too expensive, and it has gotten way more expensive than it used to be to run ads on Facebook, no question about it, but it's still one of the best ways to reach particular targeted demographics, so it's definitely something to think about. Social ads, especially on Facebook, I would not even be posting to your business Facebook page unless you're boosting those posts. They're just not getting enough attention. You've got to put boost ad dollars behind it. So just to kind of recap, you know, the reality is that marketing can be overwhelming, and social media can be can feel crazy all the time. But it all comes back to people. It all comes back to understanding and building relationships over time. Social media, websites, and just digital marketing in general all just give you the opportunity to multiply your brand and multiply your exposure in a way that you didn't get before. So if you want more information on how you can get that done, I'd love for you to check out a slide deck that I have. You can download the slides from this particular talk. Just go to iwantthoseslides.com. So go to iwantthoseslides.com. You can download the slides from this presentation and get all of that information directly to you. And I can also get you access to a product that we have called the 10 Keys to Future-Proofing Your Business. And so I talked about Google My Business before. That tool can be really helpful. Thank you for having me today. I hope this information has been helpful and valuable to you. Again, my name is Jay Owen. I am the CEO of Design Extensions and the host of Building a Business That Lasts. If you want to grab a copy of these slides and kind of see the visuals behind it, just go to iwantthoseslides.com. Thanks, and we'll see you soon.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. Profit University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.